Hello and welcome to People and Profit. I'm Charles Pellegrin. Great changes unseen in a century. The phrase is a recurring motto for Chinese policymakers, referring to the tectonic geopolitical shifts which are changing the way business has been done for the past 75 years or so. Countries that once followed the gospel of free trade and liberalism are changing tack and focusing on their national interests before anything else. Donald Trump's America being the case in point. Well, for more on these changes, we welcome to the studio David Bavrez. He's an investor based in Hong Kong and the author of the book Bienvenue en économie de guerre, or translated into English, although not officially, Welcome to the Wartime Economy. Thanks for being with us.
No, thank you very much.
So, David, your book talks about Europe needing to switch towards a war economy. But that term doesn't just refer to boosting investments in defense or arms or that kind of thing. It refers to a complete overhaul of the economy's purpose, one that isn't driven solely by consumer demand. Tell us more.
I think in 2022, we closed the 30-year cycle. The economy goes in 30-year cycles, and we had the economy of peace. The economy was driven by demand, by the consumer, and as an investor, I was trying to find companies that were developing products and services for consumers. Since 2022, the economy is driven by production, supply, and more importantly, bottleneck to supply. And the one that understood this first was Xi Jinping, because he's been preparing China for 10 years. The US has reacted relatively quickly in 2022, and we, European guys, were just starting to wake up and trying to adapt.
So that's how you choose to see the changes that we're seeing currently in the United States. Is what's happening under Trump, the United States turning to a war economy?
Yes, I think so, with a Trump style. So I'm saying, like everybody else, I'm very surprised by what's happening with the tariffs, because I think I made the mistake of thinking that tariffs were about fair trade, the fight against unfair trade. And in reality, tariffs are today, Scott Bessent told us, it's an instrument for fundraising. So what is at stake is not 1% of GDP in the US, which is the trade deficit of the US with China, which happens to be 350 billion US, very manageable. It's actually 120% of GDP. It's a national debt where the US government says, in French we say la fête du slip is over. So I'd let you translate, because I don't know if you can say this on air. Basically, we are stopping 20 years of public re-leveraging, and we need to de-lever. And when you enter a de-leveraging cycle, the first one to deliver wins. And this is where we should stop saying Donald Trump is stupid, like we are here in Europe, he's gone completely crazy. No, he's actually very, very clever on saying the first one who's going to attack, and obviously the US say, I shouldn't be paying for it. The rest of the world should be paying for it.
So you said the debt party is over in the United States. And I think the interesting metric here is the fact that the United States is now spending more on repaying its debt or interest on debt, on servicing its debt, than on its defense or the equivalent levels.
It's actually at par. It's 3% of GDP. This is a very famous Ferguson law. Neil Ferguson, this British historian, looked at the UK in 1945 and said the UK lost its geopolitical weight when a country spends more on servicing its national debt to savers than spending on military. And my gut feeling, I can't prove it to you, is that it's the Pentagon telling the US government, you cannot spend more than 3% on servicing the debt. And the debt is 120% of GDP times 2.5% interest rates. But if you reprice interest rates today, they're at 4.5%. So if we leave as is, in 2 years' time, the US is spending 6% of GDP on interest expense on the debt and only 3% on military. The US loses any credibility geopolitically on defense. And this is the way we Europeans need to understand that the reason why the US is abandoning Europe on defense is because the US cannot afford anymore, given its balance sheet, to pay for defense for all its allies all over the world.
And what about the arguments made or the calculations made saying that you can raise as much money with tariffs as you want, but it will never make up for all the tax cuts you've given on income tax, on corporate tax back in America? That, sure, maybe he's clever, but you'll never get the same sums.
So the way he thought is very, very clever, as usual with Donald Trump. I want to delever the US, but not at the expense of the super rich, where I want to cut taxes, at the expense of the rest of the world, the exporters, and the poor people that are consuming goods that are being imported to the US. And unfortunately, so you get around 300 billion US on taxing 3 trillion of imports at 10% if the tariffs stay at 10%. But unfortunately for Donald Trump, what he's done at the same time, it's totally crazy when you live like me in Hong Kong and you've read The Art of War, is not The Art of the Deal, but The Art of War, which is he managed to unite its ally and enemies against the US. And therefore, what is at stake now is a recession, which is going to cost the US potentially 1.2 trillion, so it's 4% of GDP, and get the US deficit even greater. And this is what I think we're all trying to sort out now, is how do we get out of this crazy plan that has been worked out by Mr. Navarro and go back to something where the US avoid the recession that everybody is announcing today.
Which is more the line held by Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary.
Exactly.
Let's put it that way. Let's switch to Europe now again. You're really calling on Europe to sort of wake up and to get its ducks in a row. You believe that the whole continent, in a way, needs to get back to work. Is there not still a place for the European social model as it exists today? Where's the line? How do you still preserve?
Not today, no, because there's no social model. What you call model doesn't exist. It's an anti-model. No one in the world is looking at Europe as a model you want to copy. So we should stop it. Our model is broken in the same way the Chinese model is broken. The PPP, the public-private partnership, has been destroyed by Xi Jinping in 2022. And the US is model is broken because there is no more rule of law in the US. So the good thing is that the three models are broken. So we are not necessarily the losers, because Germany is like China in 2008. Germany is the only power in the world without any leverage problem. So Germany has 1 trillion euros available to sort out the mess in which we are. And if we spend this 1 trillion in Europe, we could be like China in 08 on relaunching our economy when the two other economies are struggling.
But surely protecting social safety nets, ensuring that there's a certain quality of life, ensuring that a certain quality of education, that there's a certain level of equality, those are good things for an economy.
No.
Is there no European model?
Because my parents in 1975 lost their purchasing power. They have been working between what we call the 30 glorious, in French, have been the 30 glorious years. They had been working between 1945 and 75 to get purchasing power that got destroyed with the oil crisis. We, typically French people, over the last 30 years, we've chosen lifestyle. We've chosen the 35-hour week. We've chosen the retirement at 60. We've chosen the remote working, which are crazy. We've chosen at the expense of our purchasing power. So what we are going to lose today is not a purchasing power, because it's gone already. It's our crazy lifestyle of not working. And if you look at the DNA of Europe, Europe was created in 1951 with what we call the SECA, the European
Steel and carbon. Yeah,
coal. To produce. And what we've been doing over the last 20 years is just erect the most crazy, stupid norms in order to pseudo-protect the consumer, preventing people from working, preventing people from producing. So we need to reinvent completely our DNA. We need to go back to work. And if so, we realize we are the only area in the world today where you have the freedom of acting, which you don't have in China anymore, because private capital is under state control since the 20th Congress of 2022. And we have the freedom of thinking, which doesn't exist in the US anymore, where you've got the choice between wokeism and Trumpism, which is not freedom of thinking. The only place in the world that's got freedom of thinking and acting is Europe. But it comes with responsibility. And this is the burden we should play with.
Before we go, I want to talk about China.
China is the big winner, completely unexpected.
You mentioned Xi Jinping has prepared for this for the last 10 years. Is this a blueprint?
Well, and geopolitically, Donald Trump put on a golden plate the entire South Global and potentially Europe to China's camp, when China normally should be singled out as the systemic rival. And so that, and economically, China produces 35% of industrial manufacturing in the world, which means whatever value chain you take, there is a manufacturing step where China, as the bottleneck, controls 70, 80, 90% of world market share and is going to squeeze US manufacturing. So China, it's slower economic growth, but strategically, the way China thinks, China is winning.
Let's focus on China's auto industry specifically. For instance, the country has among the highest rates of electrical vehicle usages in the world. They control the battery supply chain, and they've developed a real expertise in car manufacturing at a fraction of the cost compared to other regions. It just so happens that the Shanghai Auto Show is starting this week, and that exhibition really underlines the dominant place that Chinese manufacturers are increasingly taking in this industry. Our correspondent Yena Li sent us this report.
At the Shanghai Auto Show, visitors can get a glimpse of what could be the car of the future, as well as the latest features that prepare drivers for all terrains. New energy vehicles, though, are stealing the spotlight.
This is a Chinese EV brand that overtook Tesla in sales last year. BYD sold over 4 million units in 2024, most of it domestically here in China, but more and more abroad.
The EU and the US have slapped tariffs of up to 45% and 100% respectively on Chinese EVs, accusing them of benefiting from outsized government subsidies. Despite this, BYD aims to double its exports in 2025 by targeting markets elsewhere.
At present, BYD's monthly exports are around 40,000 units, including some markets in the Middle East and Southeast Asia.
Chinese innovation in the auto industry is not just about new energy, but also AI. Authorities have issued 16,000 license plates for self-driving cars. Pony AI is one of a handful of companies that have been given the green light to operate taxis on the road.
Our car deceleration or deceleration or even the turn actually are very human-like.
According to the company representative, Chinese consumers and local authorities are open to the idea of driverless vehicles.
Everyone is very, I would say, enthusiast and also positive for the autonomous driving technology.
While European, Korean and Japanese automakers are now struggling to deal with Donald Trump's new 25% tariff on all foreign cars, Chinese brands have had the time to get used to that reality and are racing ahead.
Yena Li reporting there. David Bavrez, what's your reaction when you see that report?
It's a typical illustration of fantastic innovation of the private sector in China at very low cost, at a cost that is 20, 30, 50% lower than Europe. So we're dead. What your report, that's very interesting, fails to mention, you've got $250 billion of state subsidies behind all those cars. Secondly, BYD, you saw, is just cutting its prices by 20% today in China because the Chinese market is fully penetrated. The US market is closed. The only market overseas of size open is Europe. If we let the Chinese come with subsidized car exported at a loss, this is not only 10% of jobs in Europe that are at stake, it's 50% of private investment in R&D. Look at our semiconductor companies, STMicro, Infineon, NXP, they make 50% of their turnover in the car industry. If we let the Chinese come with subsidized exports at a loss, financed by the government, there is no R&D anymore in Europe for the 21st century. So we need to explain to our Chinese friends, this doesn't work. And we need to figure out a way. And the tougher we're going to be in the negotiation, the more we're going to be respected, because the Chinese will understand that we are saving Europe, which is what we should be doing.
David Bavrez, you are an investor based in Hong Kong, the author of Welcome to the Wartime Economy, an essay published in French. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
That's all for this week, but do stay tuned to France 24. We also have more episodes of People on Profit on the podcast platform of your choice or on the France 24 app. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.